church with.
Thank you. So let me start with a question this morning. It's a simple question, just how are you doing? Yeah. It's a question you've probably been asked already this morning. Maybe you've asked it of other people. You walk in and it's just a common thing. It's how are you doing? And we usually expect a fairly quick response. I'm fine, doing all right. And we get surprised when somebody actually tells us how they're doing. That kind of throws a wrench into everything, doesn't it? But sometimes we want to actually do know. We want to go beyond just the surfacey, I'm fine, thanks, how are you? We kind of want to know how actually the person is doing. And then it gets a little trickier to answer, isn't it? Gets a little trickier because then we start to fragment. What part of myself, how are they talking about? How am I doing? Well, I'm feeling okay. The family is good. Work is all right. What part of are we talking about? It gets even deeper when we ask this question, when we talk about, what about the you that is not just the fragment, but what about the part that's the body and the mind and the soul, and you put all of that together, how are you doing? Kind of depends on how you keep score, how you count, how you measure. That'll determine your answer. This morning, there's a passage that's the scripture of the day. It's a story that Jesus told. It's out of Luke, and it's about someone who answered the question how he was doing, but he was using the wrong measurement. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." And he said to them, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told him a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And he said, "I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' And so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God." How are you doing? The man in the parable went to the part of his life that was the productive part. As a farmer, my crops are great, and in fact, I'm doing so well. I need to build bigger barns, and now I've got them. I am doing great. He was using the wrong measurement, Jesus says. The key to understanding this passage is stewardship. But not in the way we think. Because underneath all of this is the key to understanding stewardship is the key to understanding your life. This is sometimes the passage we roll out during stewardship campaigns. And I rolled it out on purpose because, in one sense, this has nothing to do with barns or money or abundance. This has everything to do with our soul. That's what Jesus was talking about. Here's this thing that's getting in the way of what you are really all about. It's not that barns are bad. It's not that crops are bad. Not that money's bad. None of those things, except when they get in the way and distract you from who you really are. This is a story that begs the question, so how are you doing? How are we? This morning, I want to reclaim this whole idea of stewardship. Stewardship, we always think of it's money, it's budgets, it's buildings, it's pledge campaigns, and there's a piece of it. There's a small piece that is that. I love the way the Board of Stewards here that's charged with helping to develop good practices of stewardship has kept this in context. And so often, and what we've been hearing so far is about what have you been given? What do you have? What are we grateful for? It has to do with all of life. because stewardship ultimately is not just about what you do with your money. It's how you spend your life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. If we go through this season and all we do is talk about budgets, as important as those are, we'll have missed the opportunity, what God has for us. We'll have missed this story. We'll have missed this invitation, because stewardship is not whether or not you give, whether you pledge, whether you tithe. It has everything to do with whether or not you will live. Here's a quote. 1967, the Confession of 1967 in our church was a confession that was written, and embedded in it was this wonderful quote that I've always loved. It says, life is a gift to be received with gratitude. It is a task to be pursued with courage. Now, it was written in a time of great division in the country. If you remember 1967, 1968, 50 years ago, it was written in a time of great alienation and division, and it was trying to understand how do we apply our faith to such a time. 50 years later, I think it is still pretty pertinent. Life is a gift to be received with gratitude. It's a task to be pursued with courage. So let me use that as an outline. Gift, task. Pretty simple to keep in mind. So let's talk about reclaiming this gift that we've got. And it has to do with Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning, because this is embedded all through the Bible, including the very first words of the Bible, where in the beginning God created. And at one point in the second story of the creation, where it talks about God taking this creation and gathering up the dust and then breathing into this creation, this mixture, therefore, of soil and breaths, this mixture of the divine and the common created humanity. And it's saying something terribly important about who we are, why we are here. It is saying that here we are, we have this mix of the eternal and the temporal. That's part of who we are. It is the mix of that which is just dust, as the Bible says, or flesh and blood, and the spirit. It is the mix of what is divine and what is common, and it is all together. That is the unique nature of humanity, and with a unique task. We are eternal. We have eternity in us. We also are time-bound. We are created, and we are given the task to continue to create. Go make more people. Go make more things. Go grow crops. Grow this representation of the divinity of God on earth. Go and do things. Continue to create. Go and continue to invent things. Solve problems. Cure diseases. Go and build buildings. Go and learn things. Write books. Do all of these things. That's part of what it means to be human. Go and, you know, go to the moon. Go beyond that. Go and invent the internet so you can put recipes and cute videos of your pets online so everybody can see. You know, there is this part that is inside of us, and we kind of know it, that likes to create, that loves to solve problems, that loves to try new things, and that is part of what it means to be human. That is part of what that is of stewardship. It is taking what we have been given, what we've been entrusted with, and doing something with it to be the representation of that creation and continued creativity everywhere we go. Create art, make music, cook food. All the materials and all the provisions, everything that we've got is an expression of God's provision and God's care to be used for what God would want. So I have an assignment for you this week. We don't often give homework. This week I'm giving you homework. I want you to take some time to write down everything for which you have, everything that you have been given, anything that you have influence over. You're going to need more than one page on this. I've tried it. I've been doing it. You're going to write down all the things that you have been given, all the things, that, whether it is the resources you have, the house that you live in, the food that's in your cupboard, your job, your capacity for creating, for generating, the relationships you have, the family, the friends, the congregation, the people at work, the work that you get to do. Just start writing. What are all the things that to which I have been entrusted? Because that's the essence of stewardship. If we're going to capture it and reclaim it, it starts with a gift to be received with gratitude. And we begin to understand, first and foremost, that we are a people with many, many, many things that we have been entrusted. We can influence all kinds of things. And just start writing it down. That alone, I believe and I trust, will do something to your soul when you begin to see. Now, if you want to just put major categories, do that. But take some time this week. Take some time today before you start another week. And write down all the things to which you have been entrusted. And I do mean entrusted. On our money, there's a phrase, of course, that's there, and we argue about it from time to time, whether it really belongs there or not. In God we trust. Here's what I think is a better way to say that. If I got to print money, this is what I would do. I would change that phrase, and I would say this: in you, God trusts. What you have in your hand is something that God has entrusted you with. What you have in your closets is something that God has entrusted you with. The friends that you have is something that God has entrusted you with. This is a huge experiment in trust that God has given us. Here, take, do something good with all of this stuff. Because it's sacred. And it's meant to bless this world. You have been blessed to be a blessing. Go ahead and start writing that list. Because when you do, then the question is, So then, how are you doing with what you have been entrusted? How are you doing? It has a lot to do with what we're counting. How are you doing with what you've been entrusted? Once we do that, once we start to recapture this idea that life is a gift to be received with gratitude, then we can tackle the second part. It is a task to be pursued with courage. Why courage? Well, because courage happens because there is the default mechanism in us. There is that innate tendency for what we'll do, and it's woven throughout the entire Bible, story after story after story, where we are tempted to and often default to taking all these things, and we disconnect the gift from the giver, and we also disconnect it from its purpose and meaning. So all this stuff is no longer seen as an expression of God's provision. Now it just becomes my private stuff. And instead of being sacred, now it's just things. And now it's what I use. And whenever we do that, whenever we disconnect the gift from the giver, the gift stops being a gift. And we start to use it. And we disconnect it. And it becomes now it becomes something of division. And it hurts. The beginning of this story started with a man coming to Jesus and saying, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." That which was meant to bless and grow was dividing and wounding. Suddenly, life gets very small. Suddenly, we measure our life in how much stuff we have, the size of our barns, the amount of accomplishments we have. We start to imagine that we are valuable by how busy we are and how many things are on our time planners. We start measuring all wrong. And it's not that God says that's bad, that you're not loved. Of course you are. But the word is fool. You who were given all these things, you've become rich in all that stuff, but you have yet to connect it back with God and with others. You are rich in stuff, but you've lost your soul connection. Be careful. There is a task. There is something that needs to happen. And it takes courage. Did the rich man concentrate too much on all his stuff? Did he concentrate too much on himself? I think Jesus would say, no, he didn't concentrate enough. He concentrated on all the stuff that wasn't him. He needed to spend more time thinking about who he really was and why he was really here. So what's the point if you've got it all and you've lost that connection? Which then brings the question to this. So what do I have to do? At the end of every sermon, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? That's a good question, but let me tell you a better question. Because that question just starts to wreak an obligation and duty and feels heavy. Let me tell you a question that has changed the way I look at life, the way on my better days when I'm able to pull this one off, that changes, and I've seen it change others. You change that question from what do I have to do to what do you get to do? What do you get to do? What do you get to do today? We usually have this thing of list of things that we have to do. What do you get to do? Just put that phrase in everything that you do. I have to go grocery shopping. I get to go, and I get to take and be amazed at all the stuff and the provisions and think about the things that are going to nurture and nourish and my family and myself. I get to do and be a part of that. I have to go change the oil in my car. I get to go and take care of this thing that is an amazing machine most of the time. And the things that it can do, and I get to have that, and I get to care for that. I have this terrible phone call I have to make, or I have this terrible meeting. I get to go into a place that's terrible, and I get to bring meaning and purpose, and I get to bring all the experiences that I have and all the insights that I have, and I get the opportunity of doing something that's redemptive. I get to do that today. Try that this week and see what begins to happen and see what begins to happen with the way that we approach life and what begins to change in us. I know, Russ, you're just simply reframing everything. Yes, but there's nothing simple about it. And what I'm reframing is reframing it back to reality, because in fact, everything that we have is a gift. It's a gift to be received with gratitude. It's a task to be pursued with courage. So we're at the beginning of another week. How are you doing? And the way we answer that question has a lot to do with how are you measuring? What are you counting as your assets? What do you get to do? But take some time this week to do it, because in fact, it's a gift. It's a task. It matters. It's the work of your life, and it's the work of your soul. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we begin to think that this is all about us, and all the things that we have, we forget that they are an extension of the expression of your care for us. We live as if this part over here is all ours. And in so doing, we take the very things, the very gifts, the very resources, the very experiences, and we drain the sacred out of them. As we come to a communion table today, as we are reminded of the power of the common to convey the holy, help our lives do the same. Let this not just be an event in a worship service. Let it be the template for the way we do the rest of our lives. That everything that we encounter this week would be an expression of your presence. And more than that, let it be the things that are common and the material of our lives. Let them be an expression of the sacred and holy task that is this life that you have given us through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.